Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here as always.
What's up, peeps?
How are you, Sam?
Good, how are you, Andy?
Good, we just got finished doing a really good review, didn't we?
Yes, we did. A very positive
review. Very positive review, and here we go. We're going to talk a movie probably that was very, you know, fairly anticipated for you and me. We're talking
insanely anticipated for me,
especially
at least.
For you. We're talking about Paul Thomas Anderson's 2012 release of The Master, a veiled movie about Scientology and lost men,
or just Joaquin Phoenix being himself and people filming him.
If Joaquin Phoenix died today, it wouldn't be soon enough.
It would not be soon enough. He's a piece of shit. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, let's it's 2012. It has a great cast.
It has Joaquin a spectacular
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And
Amy Adams,
who looks cute as always and gives the worst hand jobs ever.
Hey, I think it was an okay one.
When you're brushing your teeth?
Yeah, sure.
That's like one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in a long time.
I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman didn't seem to mind.
I know. He stopped brushing.
Yeah, he did stop brushing. But okay, so the movie's called The Master. It's basically a retelling of what we know from L. Ron Hubbard's experiences before he started to write all of his Scientology stuff. If you're not familiar with it, basically...
Well, it's kind of like during... at the start of it, really.
Oh, I thought it was like after.
No, because he actually did have a boat, and that was his thing.
Oh, man, I didn't know that.
I'm not even joking.
I am not educated.
This is a book plug. I have a book called Going Clear.
Okay.
It's kind of like an expose on Scientology and like belief and like the Hollywood cult.
Oh.
And it is a great book. It's in hardcover right now. Wait to paperback, people, but okay. It's good.
Cool.
It's really good.
Cool.
I bought that after I watched this fucking movie. It's called Going Clear.
Going Clear. Cool. Check that out. Going Clear. Joaquin Phoenix's character is like this super drunk and he makes his own moonshine and he basically stumbles around
making your own moonshine. You're giving him too much credit at that.
That's what it is.
Well, he's pouring different alcohols and liquids together.
Okay, fair enough.
He's drinking like film development.
Awesome. Yeah. That's true. He does.
Remember that scene? He's a
photographer or something.
That's what I was confused about. Anyway,
so he basically is a drunk and he makes moonshine and he gets fired from his job because he's an idiot and he stumbles along this pier and kind of makes his way onto this party boat. And it's not really a party boat as much as it is kind of like, I don't know what you would call it, like a journeyman's boat. Or I don't understand exactly.
It's not quite a ferry, but it's kind of like, it had cabins and stuff for people. And I think it's like little holdouts for his little, it's already the mini cult has been established.
Yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman runs this cult.
Yeah.
And, he's having like a big party or it's like a wedding or something.
For his daughter.
And it's on the boat and he stumbles. Joaquin Phoenix's character. Let me get their names because it's going to be easier. Joaquin Phoenix's character is named Freddy. And Philip Seymour Hoffman is the master.
That's
probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So Freddy stumbles onto the master's boat. The master enjoys Freddy's moonshine.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay, you could be a part of our cult now.
Yeah, and like I like the there's
so bad.
Fuck this movie, man.
It's such a shitty movie.
And you know, and here's the thing. Everyone expects this movie to be better than it is.
Yeah.
The critics are stupid.
They're probably giving...
They love Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah, they're giving Paul Thomas Anderson the benefit of his doubt. I love Paul Thomas Anderson, too. I still love him even after this movie. I've seen everything he's made except for Sydney, which is Heart 8, because I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, I loved everything, like Magnolia, Boogie Nights, There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
The movie with Adam Sandler.
Punch Drunk Love.
Everything. Like, just spectacular films. And then this was such a massive letdown. And I think some of the critics were like, oh, you know what? Paul Thomas Anderson does this kind of arty stuff, like an art house film stuff. And they're sort of giving him the benefit of a doubt. But I think we both were like, this is where the buck stops.
Yeah.
This is a piece of shit.
You can't give... Yeah, it's his... The thing is... Okay, so here it is. You have... There Will Be Blood. Great movie.
Fantastic.
I went there on a Valentine's Day. That was my Valentine's Day movie at, in college.
That's
so
a good Valentine's movie.
It was. We
movie.
Had sushi and
drainage.
Yeah, yeah. The girl didn't like the movie. I love the movie. I was like, that's a great movie. I want. Let's go bowling. This movie. Here's the thing, and this is bad for. I'll just come out and say it. I don't really like Joaquin Phoenix to begin with.
I don't either. He's a.
So like, oh, he's ever since actor. He did the "I'm not here" thing,
yeah, that was not cool.
So that's
and
not
that's,
cool.
It's not cool that he was being a troll because it's funny to be a troll sometimes, and it's good
if
when
you're
you,
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, and you allow people to be in on the joke, become the joke, and you allow people to be in on the joke after the point,
right?
In a way that's kind of like in good humor, you know?
Sure,
it's like a good faith kind of thing. But Joaquin Phoenix, when he did the "I'm not here" thing, he just seemed mean spirited, and it didn't seem that funny or. Like, it was just like, I'm acting weird.
Here, I pulled one on you guys. Like, that's kind of funny, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like, check it out with Dr. Steve Brule, like the Tim and Eric shit. It's kind of like the Tim and Eric shit, but it's not so stupid you know it's a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was just dumb.
And here's the thing is, like, you have in the movie before, you have him in the Johnny Cash one, Walk the Line, right?
Yeah.
And with Walk the Line, it's, with Walk the Line... You've never seen Walk the Line, have you?
I have not seen it because I'm not a huge Johnny Cash fan. And I know it's a good movie. It's just something I've never been.
I always had a problem with Walk the Line because I think that came out like 6 months or a year after the Ray Charles movie came out.
Oh.
And it was kind of like one of those things like, let's make a movie about a troubled star.
Just make biopics
star.
Over
yeah, a biopic,
troubled stars.
Right? And so like, and the Johnny Cash thing, with the Johnny Cash thing, you know, he kind of looked like... His character in the Master could be Johnny Cash
before Johnny Cash.
Yeah, 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 yeah. who like to fuck people in you know,
get
photo
drunk
development
all the time.
Rooms. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that bothered me about this movie. Well, first of all, when the movie came out, when they're like, "Hey, Paul Thomas Anderson is making a movie on Scientology." That's what I read when it was coming out, The Master.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone's all up in arms like, "Oh, like Philip Seymour Hoffman's going to be L. Ron Hubbard in a way." And it's like, yeah, but Paul Thomas Anderson has too many Scientologist friends to actually make a Scientologist movie with teeth.
Yeah, and even if he, you know, kind of wanted to avoid that, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't just because – he wouldn't just make like a straight up like, this is making fun of Scientology movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it would probably be too on the nose. He generally does for like the more – kind of subtle material until the end where he makes it go crazy, you know?
Yeah, at the end, well, okay, so yeah, and then the trailer is kind of misleading as well when you have, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman's son being like, you know, he's making this up as he goes along and stuff like that. Like, that's not even explored. Talking about, like, Scientology in general, I mean, he did a private screening for Tom Cruise.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
To be like, hey, does this offend you, buddy?
That was basically it. And
really?
Yeah, and so the whole thing was like...
Makes me lose a lot of respect for
I talked to Tom Cruise about it because he was in Magnolia, right?
Yeah.
And so like the whole thing... And he's like, yeah, you know, Tom Cruise only had a couple problems with the movie. The main one being when the guy says he's making it up as he goes along, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Totally.
But he's also like a fourth... what is it? Like a Thetan? Like the fourth planet or whatever that he's doing...
There's man, like I don't
level.
Know.
Yeah. That's when you know that you all came from volcanoes, from the aliens, right? So it's
sadness volcanoes.
So he did the screening for Scientologists, and I read that after, and I was like, wow, you know.
He played it safe.
Why even make it about Scientology when it could be about any cult leader? And maybe that's what he's going for. It could be about any cult leader. But it just happens to be that.
It's too similar.
L. Ron Hubbard had a boat like that, and they traveled around with his little...
cult.
Mini cult at the time, right? Philip Seymour Hoffman did a great job. Amy Adams did a great job playing
the
controlling
bitch. Yeah, like acting-wise, they all did spectacular jobs. It's like, I hated Joaquin Phoenix so much because he was so believable in his character. Like, that was a part of it. It's kind of like in
Atonement. Because he is that character.
Yeah. 20%. It's kind of like in Atonement with, like, the young girl. Like, I hated that little girl at the end of Atonement. But, like... I still like that movie a lot because it did a lot of other stuff that was cool, and it made it mean something to have such an unlikable character. In this movie, Joaquin Phoenix's character is unlikable, sure, but you can't just have unlikable characters and then nothing really happen. Because basically, nothing happens.
He's always a piece of shit.
Yeah, this movie is like the equivalent of Sofia Coppola is somewhere where nothing happens in the entire fucking movie. That's what this movie is.
Yeah, and actually the most action that happens isn't even with Joaquin Phoenix. It's with Philip Seymour Hoffman kind of like touting his cult around and getting arrested and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you have just like scenes that, like the hand job scene when the, you know,
or when all the when all the people are naked, all the women are naked.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like surreal. It's kind of like, okay, I get it. You're sort of crazy, maybe. Yeah,
right.
Or maybe they are naked. I think they are naked, by the way.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He's ripping off on there's like a psychologist in the 50s and 60s who did shit like that. Like he would go to people's homes that were wealthy and be like, hey, we're all going to feel
naked.
Better.
Yeah.
So he did so he was kind of ripping on that, but at the same time, it was like reaching.
And then you have like the auditing scene where he's talking about Joaquin Phoenix, have you had sex with a family member?
Oh yeah.
Remember that stuff?
Yeah.
There's lots of scenes that you remember, but the movie itself, I think part of it is that it could have been so much better.
It could have been better. It was a massive disappointment if you're looking at it from a storytelling perspective.
Right.
It's like directing wise, it's directed
shot.
And shot so well. The cinematographer, I actually looked up his name. Let me see if I could find him. Oh, man, I don't have it here. But he's a dude who worked on a bunch of other kind of like larger scale movies. I want to say he did The Dark Knight or something like that. He might have worked on something like that. And so like he's a very skilled cinematographer, and it really shows. Like you have that like scoped panning shot when Joaquin Phoenix is running out of the
immigration, like the
laborers, like
the day laborers yeah
camp, when he's running out of that and then like the Malick type shots of the shores and like other aspects, like just that stuff was
what was your favorite shot? I have a favorite shot in my mind. Right when I saw it, I said this is going to be my favorite shot of the movie.
My favorite shot is probably the one where Joaquin Phoenix is running out of the laborers workplace.
My favorite shot is when he is gets his first job as a photographer.
Yeah.
And he's setting up the family shot for the first time.
Okay.
And it points back at him, and it's just like it's like a perfect, like, this is going to be, it's when I watched, that's like in the first, I don't know, 20 minutes of the movie, and I was like, this movie's going to be shot well throughout.
Yeah, no, I know, I totally know. And
then after that, it's kind of like I'm bored.
Yeah, I think that was my main down point. We could do our highs and lows, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, that was we could hate on this movie for like 2 hours.
A long time, yeah. Like, my major low is that, like, the story is so boring and does nothing. It's the same problem I had with Sofia Coppola's Somewhere, where it's kind of like stuff is happening on screen. It's filmed in kind of a cool way. People are acting like they're doing a good job at acting.
Sure.
But, like, the story isn't really going anywhere or telling me anything interesting or evocative. Like, the most interesting, actually my high point, which I'll get to later, but, like, it's not, it's just not a good story, and it's not told in a way that is meaningful.
Right.
That would make me care about any of the characters. What about you? What was your low point? Main low point.
Fuck, man. It started off where, you know, I think with any Paul Thomas Anderson movie, after 30 minutes, it could go either way. Because the first 30 minutes, you're already kind of getting engrossed in the whole film.
Yeah, he's a slow burn.
Think of the first 30 minutes of There Will Be Blood, right?
Yeah, it's
awesome to watch.
It's a silent movie because there's no speech.
Yeah,
Stuff happens, but there's no speech.
Stuff's happening, and then it just goes on from there, but it went the opposite direction. And it was just kind of like, I really wish it was a movie about Philip Seymour Hoffman, because that character was far more interesting than being like, and what Paul Thomas Anderson chalked the movie up to is like, oh, it's not about Scientology, it's about a guy with alcohol problems.
Which is true. I mean, you could say that, but it's almost like he was trying to find a way to criticize Scientology or cults in general or religion in general.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be just Scientology. He's trying to find a way to criticize these things, but he was trying to do it in a manner that was like kind of like deft, so he could deflect any direct criticism. He couldn't be like, oh, what, you hate Scientology? Like, you can't be like, oh, you hate Scientologists now, or you hate religions now, like, when you, after watching the movie. But you can't really say anything else about
it. And that's the thing, like, even
if you're
watching,
so safe.
Yeah, if you're watching a movie and you know it's about Scientology, that's fine. I knew it was about Scientology, so you watch it. And then all the weird stuff that makes Scientology quirky is kind of addressed, like when his wife goes in and it's like the second installment of this book.
Yeah.
But when you're watching that, nothing about that is weird because you already know Scientology is weird like that.
Yeah, and like when there's like a lady who was like, hey, but what about this word? Changing this word changes like our approach to how we recruit people. And then he was like, no, it doesn't. And stuff like that. Like, you could do that. That's fine. But it would have been better if you did more of that.
The best part, I was thinking, my low point. Let's talk low point, right? Because I guess I deflected your question like an asshole.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's all good.
Let's talk about when they're going to crack Joaquin Phoenix's code at that house. And he's walking,
when he's walking back and forth.
Wood.
God damn it.
Wood.
That was the shittiest thing.
So you're thinking, okay, things are picking up for no reason. But this is maybe something's
going to
happen.
Let's go with it. Something cool is going to happen.
And then
Daniel Plainview is going to come out and kill everybody.
Right. So like, and then he's like, I'm going to ride on this motorcycle. Right? So it's like nothing happens.
Yeah, he just kind of goes away. And
there's
then
a scene where you're trained to be like, yeah, okay, we're getting somewhere.
There's going
to
be a breakthrough.
Yeah, it's going to be a breakthrough. He's going to see the light. Something's going to happen to him. Nothing.
I mean, I guess something happens in the sense that he does go away, and he kind of, like, turns his back on the faith, sort of.
And then he comes back. Oh,
then
the ending.
Back.
Oh, my fucking God.
All right, that was really weird. I mean, not really weird. That was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Ugh. There's no high point for me. This is the first movie I was – actually, that's not true. Shot well.
Shot, yeah.
Shot well.
Yeah,
but
shot
with him,
very,
like,
very well.
Is that a surprise?
Yeah, that's not
– So, hey, you know, shot well is like saying you ran the mile under 15 minutes. Good job. Right?
for Paul Thomas Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's too his vision is just absurdly good in how he wants the picture to look and how he wants the picture to sound and how he wants the actors to behave.
Also, I was expecting a little more of the soundtrack considering the soundtrack that we had in There Will Be Blood,
which I loved, and
which
I was
is amazing.
Really, I still remember, like, it wasn't allowed to be on the list for the Academy Awards because it used a track off of Body Song, and the person who scored both Body Song and There Will Be Blood is Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead. And it was the Kronos Quartet still.
Yeah.
And so it was really stupid that wasn't allowed in. This soundtrack was also pretty good.
It was good.
Not as good.
Not as good. You know what I think? Who would have done a better job? Richie Kotzen. Richie Kotzen singing Help Me. Yeah. After the auditing scene.
Yeah, dude. Definitely.
With
definitely
a fat
Richie Kotzen.
He could have made a fucking appearance on the boat. He could have been the wedding band.
He could have been, yeah. He could have been Philip Seymour Hoffman.
No, yeah.
yeah. Okay, so like your high point was
the shot. And
just,
I would have to say, you guys, like, if you ever watched the movie, and if you have watched the movie, you know exactly what I'm fucking talking about, was when you see a family getting ready for like a photo at essentially like a Sears.
It's just awesome,
right?
Yeah.
And then it points back and you see Joaquin Phoenix focusing in on the family. It looks fucking perfect.
Yeah, dude. If that was like that, I remember that part of the movie gave me the vibe. The painter who did, it's the American painter, and he has that iconic painting of the
Campbell Soup Can.
No, not Andy Warhol. The iconic painting. I think it's called like Blackbirds or Bluebirds. Hmm. It's the one where the people are sitting at a. I can't think of the word for it right now. It's not a bar. It's like a restaurant.
Right.
Like a. I'll probably edit this because I legit can't remember what
no
it
need.
Is.
I think this is good. Someone will comment and tell you.
but it's I think it's called like Bluebirds or Nightbirds. I think that's what it's called. But it just reminded me of that vibe of like that could have been a painting because it's that shot is just so. There's like so much meaning and like it's so interesting to have just that shot. The cinematography, I agree, is just amazing.
But, I mean, it's kind of sad to say that that's the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman did a great job.
He did do a great job, yeah.
But at the same time, it's just kind of like, what am I watching?
I don't care about any of this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And if it was like some sort of critique on any religion in general through the lens of a Scientology lens, that's fine. But make it
just
ballsy.
Have the balls to do it. Just do it. Just make fun of it.
Especially
don't make fun
all
of it.
Built up, you know. And they had side by side shots of fucking Philip Seymour Hoffman next to L. Ron Hubbard. And you're going to tell me it's like, yes, it's not about Scientology per se.
And I remember reading after I watched The Master. I went online and read like some articles about the movie, mm-hmm. and like there was one that was talking about L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah,
and it was L. Ron Hubbard talking about this dude that he met, this fisherman, like this longshoreman.
Yeah,
who is the person Joaquin Phoenix's character is based on,
right.
and he like actually did shit like that. Like he would drink turpentine from like old like nuclear case or sorry not nuclear old bomb casings and stuff.
Yeah, he like, drank a lot of shit. This guy was drinking.
Yeah, like that's the, like L. Ron Hubbard had those experiences.
Yeah,
like of hearing those stories from those people. So it was like very obvious if you read about L. Ron Hubbard the person.
Yeah.
And read
he was
about,
a compulsive liar.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And yeah, which is also what Philip Seymour Hoffman clearly
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you read about the history of Scientology, like it all clicks. Like it's pretty clear.
But I mean, and it's just about Scientology, but it doesn't even fucking matter.
Yeah, it doesn't take a stance or anything. It plays it too safe.
Could have been about fucking the new Pope from Argentina, you know?
Hey, I like Pope Francis.
Not about fucking him, but it could have been yeah. about him.
I like Pope Francis.
That would make a great story about how he's compliant with... kind of sending off Catholic priests to political prisons, you know?
What? I didn't hear about that.
We'll talk about that later. It's a good okay. it's a good story. Okay. Everyone loves Pope Francis, but it's like, hey, he was kind of compliant with right-wingers. But.
Oh, I just like that his Pope chair is like a normal chair.
His Pope chair, everything about him is a normal
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, he just seems like a normal dude.
Yeah.
He's just an everyday normal guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But
watch a documentary about Pope Francis instead of this shit, man.
Yeah, do that. Watch a documentary about like rocks instead yeah. of this.
Let's hear it. Top 10. What do you give out a 10-point scale?
Oh, man.
This is going to be hard because I think part I was of this is so going to be our disappointment. With
yeah,
it.
A lot of it is my disappointment. I'm probably going to give this like a 4.
What should you give Summer Hours?
Man, I don't remember.
Did you give like a 2? Summer Hours
is the thing we always return
Summer
to.
Summer Hours is the
piece
low,
of shit.
The low.
That movie was probably less enjoyable than this one because at least this one was shot.
It was
incredibly
shot
well.
Summer Hours is like, God damn, is this movie 3 hours long?
Yeah,
you're watching 30 minutes of it, assholes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only give this like a 4. Oh, I didn't do my high point, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
But,
you
know, it's cool. My high point was the part where Amy Adams jerks off Phil
Seymour
Hoffman. Because it's such a nice break from the boredom of the entire fucking movie.
If you're ever getting a hand job while you're brushing your teeth, that, I think that answers the old age-old question, do you stop it or do you let it continue?
I think you let it continue.
Yeah.
I think that's now I know. Thank
you. You have toothpaste in your mouth, and the lady says, come for me, and you do.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
It was
But it was nice because it was kind of like a fun break from how bored I was
yes.
the rest of the time.
I was also impressed how fast it went, considering he went from not thinking about a hand job while brushing his teeth to getting a hand job and creaming.
Well, it's her control. She's like in control of him.
That was the weird part.
That's
too.
A part of it.
That's the whole thing. And you know, it's classic Paul Thomas Anderson, where it's kind of like one scene's going to explain so much.
Yeah, and yeah, that did a great job. It,
yeah,
it was just
I mean,
good.
It's just a strange hand job.
But
scene.
Still a 4 because goddamn, it was so boring.
Boring.
And I don't like Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay, so like the critics, I think it was a pretty. Isn't it like an 80 something on Rotten Tomatoes?
Let me check. Give
because I think
give
okay,
him your
so
10 point.
This is what I'm going to tell
point.
You. I say I'm going to give it a 4 as well.
Okay,
maybe a fucking 3 because.
That's a 3.5.
We'll do a 3.5. Yeah, we'll be in the middle. So the thing with like Rotten Tomatoes, I know that the discrepancy between critics liking it and audience members being like, what the fuck? I think it was a big difference.
Okay, I just brought it up. Okay,
okay.
So the critics have it at an 85%.
Too fucking high.
With a little bit over 200, 220 reviewers. And the audience has it as a 60%, which is still a like it. With about 42,000 ratings.
Which is a barely fresh, right, at 60?
60 is fresh.
60 is
the cutoff. Fresh threshold.
Yeah. Well, this thing's fucking rotten.
Yeah.
This thing is like...
So, just so bad.
A jack-o'-lantern in December rotten, man. This thing is fucking garbage.
And you know what? I'm just going to say it. Now that Paul Thomas Anderson... I didn't know that thing about Tom Cruise. Maybe you might have told me, but I just forgot
about it
before. But now that you told me that, I'm pretty sure he just lost my top spot for favorite director.
He showed it to Tom Cruise just to be like, hey, I want to see what you have. Like, what are the problems with it?
Yeah, no, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently this movie was also a lot longer, right?
Initially?
Yeah. I thought they have a lot more footage, but they cut it down to this.
It's still fucking long. It's 2 hours. Oh yeah, it's 2 hours and 18 minutes long.
Yeah, it's way too long. It's about 2 hours too long.
this could have been a short.
Great short.
Yeah. Just
a hand job in the bathroom.
just the part where he's getting interviewed for the first time on the boat.
The auditing.
That would have been cool.
I know.
Just that little part.
And then Richie Kotzen comes in.
Yeah, and he does his Help Me song.
Help me.
And his like $1,500 Telecaster.
Oh
now,
my God, that Telecaster with the boat neck on the boat. That would have been
yeah,
perfect.
That would have been yeah. Only people like us.
yeah.
But you know, 3.5.
And I would have to say, you know, Sam, I thought it was going to be way better than this. And
I did too.
As you did too. And we were looking forward to watching this. And here they go, fucking us over.
Yeah, this is a massive, massive letdown. Like, I've never disliked any Paul Thomas Anderson movies. Like, all of them, I kind of, like, understood what he was going for and got.
They're watchable.
Instantly. And, like, was such a huge.
Would you ever watch this again?
No. I would not tell people to watch it either. If it's on Netflix, I would call up Netflix and be like, hey, you guys should take this shit down.
Would you watch this or Killer Joe again? I'm choosing Killer Joe.
Man, I would probably watch Killer Joe too. At least Killer Joe is so goofy and stupid that
it's and that's only like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half.
Yeah. And more shit happens in that hour and a half.
That's true. A lot more shit happens.
Yeah.
Even though that movie is shot really poorly in comparison.
Yes.
Even though it's William Friedkin.
It's beauty. Like, I could, but still, I mean, Jesus, this movie 3.5. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood is my, it's still probably, like, my favorite movie, if not
this
one of my
movie
favorite
got
movies.
Too much praise because Paul Thomas Anderson is the golden child.
Yeah, and I
he
mean,
has a great resume.
He does have a great resume.
This movie was shit.
Yeah.
I'm why am I apologizing that it's shit?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
You know what? Well, better luck next time for us, Sam.
Yeah, yeah. Next time we'll do. Next time we'll do something better.
So it's a 3.5 from me and a straight up 4 from Sam.
Yeah, stupid. Stupid movie. Don't watch this. I don't recommend it to anybody.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you, as always, for listening. And
if you don't agree, please let us know.
Yeah, bearing through our hatred for this stupid movie.
We had a really good review session with Evangelion right before this.
Yeah, that was
now,
great.
And now I'm just really sad. We're going to have to up it again.
Yeah, we'll do up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thanks as always for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have any questions, comments, you know, feel free to hit us up. And thanks. Bye.
Bye.